Hello, my beautiful bestie. How are we doing today?
Hello, Melissa Rose. I am elated, absolutely elated to be with you in pretty and pink over there.
Oh my gosh, I feel like we're like swapped right now.
I know, I'm in a black turtleneck.
That's way more my vibe. But oh my God, I know, it's so good to see you.
It's so,
so good to be back and at it and in just a new headspace.
Isn't it amazing what a break can do internally and externally for yourself?
Oh my God.
It's amazing.
Amazing and like never before, honestly. Because like it's not a break, right? Like it's not a break. It's a break from certain things, right? I don't know the last time that I felt like such like a sense of like rejuvenation and new mental space.
Yeah,
honestly, it's akin to starting a new school year. Like that is like you have all your finals behind you and you had a break and now you're coming in fresh. Like, okay, I have intentions I want to set for this year. I'm gonna do better with this and I'm looking forward to that.
And knowing too, I mean, we're all human batteries essentially. Like, you just need to take the time to recharge. And you always say, this is your language of like, oh, that felt so good. Like, I was able to get this done, or, oh, that didn't feel good. And actually, it kind of allows us to think about, like, why did it feel so good? Well, you took time to literally recharge. And thus, you feel rejuvenated and a new energy that you can bring forth to the same deadlines and the same goals, but in just a very rebranded, reestablished way.
That's right. How are you feeling? How are you doing on this day? It's a big week for you, miss.
It is a big week. I'm feeling very similar to what you were saying before, just like a newfound energy combined with my youngest baby turning 2. Birthdays are just so emotional.
So emotional.
They are. He's not a baby. Like, he's really, I'm like, where did my babies go?
It's so wild because we just dropped a double click on our first episode, our 000, and it was intentional to drop that at the beginning of the new year. You know, we have some new listeners, kind of like reestablish what, and we'll get more into the meat of this, but you know, what's our why and why we're here. And also our much needed, you know, break from the recording every week, as amazing as it is. We just needed to reset and recharge for many reasons.
Practice what we preach.
Exactly. And I'm listening back to the episode this morning and I was like, oh my God, like I'm talking about my almost 1 year old. You're talking about your 1 and your 3.5 year old. And I know how time works. Like I know we're a year from that point, but it doesn't feel like that much time has gone by. And now we're like about to celebrate your 2 year old.
It's insane. I have goosies. It's happy goosies. And it's also crazy in that episode, and this is such a concrete representation of phases and stages. I reference like, oh, 3.5, like that's a time. And it's like tables have completely turned.
I know. I thought about that.
We're like 4.5 is just this euphoric, incredible age. And 2 is insane.
Like, it's absolutely so funny. Insane. I thought that. When you said it in the episode, I thought to myself, I was like, that's so funny. I don't remember that phase that you went through at that point. Like, I don't remember what you were talking about at that point and what was difficult about it. And just the other day, you were literally saying, in regards to your older son, he is just so delicious right now. He is just so delicious. It's been so nice to have this unstructured time together. So it was just so funny to have that parallel, just how quickly the tables can turn, exactly what you just said.
And Mel, honestly, the funny part is I don't even remember. Like Ryan and I were looking at pictures and videos. I always like to do a deep dive, whether it's healthy or unhealthy around birthdays, of like just being up a little too late watching videos and pictures. And like, I don't even remember those tough, tumultuous waters. And it's like, no, no, that was your everyday. And again, just such a concrete representation of when it's good, it's so, so good. And when it's bad, it's so, so bad, right? But most of the time, like, you don't even, you kind of black out a little bit. 100%. So theme for this year and manifesting, like, those small moments really make up the big moments. And I'm really actively working on holding on to my present anchor as much as humanly possible.
Oh my God, I love that. That's so, so beautiful. And if we could all emulate that, right? No matter where you are, no matter what phase or stage or wherever you find yourself, just like remaining anchored.
Anchor. Whether you're feeling like your boat is drifting off into stormy ass seas, because it will, or whether you have like the glass looking water ahead, just like hold on to the anchor, because it is always there.
Always, always. Well, that's a phenomenal introduction to what we're taking on today. Which, what are we taking on today, Michelle?
We're taking on the new year. We're taking on 2025. We're taking on our 40th episode. Okay. Can we just acknowledge that's a baby? That is a birthed baby. Not for me, because I was 2 weeks late with both of my boys pretty much, but
that's disgusting.
Yeah, I would give that an absolutely beautiful. Disgusting.
Beautiful. Blessed.
Yes. Whoa. Gross. Too big. Way too big. They overstayed their welcome. They needed an eviction notice. Many. Anyway, 40 episodes of the M Take. And you beautifully said it. I'm actually going to pull up the text that you sent me this morning after you listened to our double click first episode or zero episode. We've come so far while also remaining exactly the same, which is such an incredible flex. Always rooted in our why.
Always. It's amazing. It makes me so emotional. I know, it really does. Like, thinking back to, like, I didn't even know that. Like, you even replied back to it in that, like, there are so many things we say in that first episode that just are us talking that are literally going to be on our merch that's coming out. And I'm not saying this, like, we have to put it on. Like, currently in the process of being developed. Like, they are our tenants.
Yes.
They are, is that the word?
Tenants? Yeah, exactly.
They're our tenants. Like, they're the foundation of this space. They're our isms, our phrases. And it's just so weird.
I know.
That, you know, I just didn't even expect it. I honestly was nervous to listen back to it. Same. I knew I was afraid of, like, my perfectionism, like, wanting to go in and edit it or whatever. And I was just like, wow, like, I don't even think my personal brain would be, and my personal, like, brand would be as rooted a year ago in like what my journey was at that point. I know it. Like, if I think from a professional standpoint, like, whatever it is, it would be very, I think, different, honestly, evolved, I guess. But we're just there. And it's, I think, because of this weekly and daily partnership and communication and just, like, collaboration over, like, the mission and the journey. And constantly coming back to why we're doing it and how energized we are. And the feedback loop of our listeners and the people that – the feedback and everything.
It's incredible.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. I saw an episode was downloaded, like, in Germany today. And I was like, that's so cool. International Germany. Pop stars. Oh. But it really is just so beautiful, and I'm so excited to see where this year takes us and where we go. But we wanted to carve out the space today to really talk about, like, what we're manifesting. I know it's funny, like, we had built out this playbook before seeing all of the trend on Instagram, like, what's in this year, what's out this year, and, like, using our language, like, again, we did this before that trend even surfaced. Like, what are we double clicking on and what are we leaving behind? And I think that way of framing it allows us to minimize guilt and really maximize, like, what thoughts are actually nutritious for us moving forth into the year.
That's perfect. Yes.
Right?
I love that. I love nutritious. I love that.
Right?
To label it, because We know what that means. You know yes. what that feels like.
Mm-hmm. Sure do. Inside and out. What mm-hmm. thoughts are nutritious? What's the nutrition in that thought?
Nutrition right? facts.
But first and foremost, we always have to start with a two truths, no lie. So why don't you go first today?
Okay, I can go first. So okay. mine really, it's actually pretty in line with what we're talking about today. But it's this concept of reflecting back mm-hmm. and thinking back to, again, where we were and not so much all the things we were just talking about. Like, wow, we're so rooted and that was amazing and we're exactly doing what we wanted to do, right? But the opposite of that, right? When you're reflecting backwards and you're thinking about certain moments or certain phases of the last year or at any point, but specifically the last year, I think it's really easy to get caught up in like a shame cycle once you're mm-hmm. like on the other side, yeah. right? So for me in particular, as you know, the perfectionist minded person that I am.
No. What do you mean?
I give myself a lot of grace in the moment, especially when I'm having a hard time. I will give myself all the grace in the world.
It's a coping mechanism.
It's a coping mechanism. I'll be very like, you're doing the best you can and blah, blah. But once I've gotten through that, I'm very quick to not give that same grace to that previous version of myself. And rather than thinking she was doing the best she could, I'm thinking about the things I could have been doing differently. And I think in some shape or form that can be productive, right? It's a way of growing and learning mm-hmm. and moving forward. But particularly in the headspace that I was in the last like month of 2024, I was just not a version of myself that I was used to seeing at all or being. And it didn't feel good, which we're going to get back to. It really did not feel good to be that version of myself. I didn't want to be that version of myself. And in the moment, I knew how bad it was and how much I was drowning. But I was at such a capacity, I couldn't cope and I couldn't utilize the skills that I had to be like, you're doing the best you can. And I would say it, but like still drowning.
Yeah.
And
say it and meaning it are two very different things.
100%. And coming out of that right now, being in the space I'm in and feeling much better. And again, we will get to the process there and not just saying, oh, I had, you know, 2 weeks away from my other job and now I feel good. Like there's a lot of reasons why I'm feeling better right now outside of that. And I catch myself going to a place of like, oh, like if you would have just done this, this would have felt different. Or if you just would have done that, like, did you really need to react in that way? Did you really need to stoop to that level? Did you really need to say those things? Mm-hmm. And the reality is like, and this is where the two truths and lies comes in, like we can grow and we can evolve and we can learn from our mistakes. And we can still honor the mm-hmm. version of ourselves that, like, we don't want to be again.
Yeah, totally.
Because without that person and without that moment or phase, you can't get to where you are right now.
Yeah.
I can't have the perspective I have right now without going to that place I went to at the end of last year.
Yep.
And it's a pivotal part of growing. It's a pivotal part of evolving. So giving that version of yourself grace, even looking back further, if you think of like a moment from college or high school or like early working days where you did something, you're all going to start thinking of something right now in your head where it like makes you cringe. You're like, oh my God, like I can't deal with that. And even that though, when it's further in the rearview mirror, you can say, oh, I was young or I didn't understand or I learned more things now. Give yourself that same grace for like, the person 4 hours ago mm-hmm. or 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. We need to really lean into that and we'll get into the ins and the outs, but just really meeting ourselves where we are and giving grace and honoring the less perfect versions of ourselves mm-hmm. Because we need both of them. We need the highs and the lows and we need to both want to not get back there again and also honor it.
Yep. Your present self is because of your past self. Mm-hmm. You can't be who you are without your experiences, right? Mm-hmm. And it's, I mean, talk about a whip over here. Mm-hmm. That is all-encompassing work in progress. You have to be able to reflect and wear the poop-colored glasses and be like, oh, yeah. Not proud of that.
Yeah.
Didn't feel good. Acknowledge it, but know that it does shape who you are. And then carving out space, though, with those questions that you were asking while you were in that, let's call it a shame spiral, mm-hmm. like a shame guilt spiral. That's when you have to ask, though, what nutrition are these thoughts giving me? Mm-hmm. Are these nutritious thoughts? Okay, maybe I need to ask them to get to where I am today. But when you're currently spiraling, you have to figure out a way to like catch yourself or get a safety net from somebody, a feelings mentor, mm-hmm. to say, are these nutritious thoughts?
Are these new? Yeah, exactly.
Because they don't help so much if you keep going on and on and on and on.
Exactly. Both in the post and the current.
Exactly. But perspective, oh, isn't it everything?
It is. It's literally everything. And it's so easy to like try and avoid. And it's so easy to try and just like avoid thinking about that version of yourself. Like when you get a cringe about something you did or reacted, and it's like you just want to avoid it. And you just want to be like, oh, well, like that happened because of XYZ, or that wasn't because of me. That was because of the situation. And they put me here. And we can create all these narratives in our head.
So true.
It's really hard to first start doing it, but once you get in the habit of honestly just like taking accountability and honoring those things,
yeah.
It's so freeing. It is so liberating to be able just to like honor. Just, yeah not perfect. Ooh, that was not normal for mm-hmm. me. That was atypical. And how are we going to prevent ourselves from getting back to that place?
It's so true. Oh, it's so true. Quick sidebar. My mm-hmm. son came home from school the other day with a sheet with a like behavior plan that they're using school-wide of like green choices and red choices. And we can circle back to that concept another day. But the reason that I brought it up is before I hung it on our bulletin board, I had to like make asterisks and add some other like points to it. Mm-hmm. And double clicking on what you just said, like you have to remind yourself, like you're going to make some red choices. You're going to make mistakes. I'm doing my best and I'm going to make a mistake and then I'm going to learn from them. Mm-hmm. Like when we get into the binary, that part of it is so important because otherwise, how are you supposed to learn?
Exactly. I was thinking about this today and I was going to bring it up later, but it kind of actually is perfect right now. But, you know, thinking of something physical sometimes is helpful to like tie to these more like meta, like cognitive things. And like nutritious, for example, mm-hmm. it's something that's more like a physical feeling or something we can tie to a physical feeling. So honestly, like when we make habits out of like kind of self-sabotaging habits, I guess, it can be really easy to just like pivot away and just like convince yourself like that's not having a bigger impact on the big picture, right? Which like literally that's me. Like in a nutshell, then eventually push comes to shove and like you are faced with like, no, like you put yourself into this position and I can't feel this way again. And it usually takes like a really, really big feeling, a really, really big situation to bring you to that like rock bottom feeling. And mm-hmm. I was driving today, I was thinking about, and if you haven't carried a child, you probably won't know this feeling because it is like tenfold what it is like when you're not carrying a child. But I will never forget, probably in my like second trimester with my daughter, I overate. And you think like, oh, like pregnancy, like people probably overeat all the time. Yeah, mm-hmm. sure, like you might like have certain cravings or whatever. But I had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and it was so good I had a second. And it was at night time. Like, I didn't, like, it was post-dinner. Like, this was already an evening snack. And now I've had two peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And I was so overly full. It physically hurt. Like, oh, I was God. In so much pain. And, like, I think anyone who's, again, carried a baby can know this feeling. Because, like, your organs are moved around. Like,
oh, yeah.
You can't fit things the same way. So I went from overindulging and, like, kind of going for that immediate gratification to, like, this is one of the worst, like, feelings I've ever had. I couldn't breathe. It was going all the way up. So in that moment, it was so bad that I was like, I will literally never do that again. Mm. Like, well, I indulged in my pregnancy, but, like, I never once after that moment was even tempted after I felt full to eat more again, because it was physically so painful. That's how I feel right now coming out of last year. Like, there's been plenty of times I've been stressed, I've been overworked, I've been whatever. The way in which I felt at the end of last year and the trickle-down effect that had, I never want to feel that again. I never do, ever. So that is why I have this motivation, inspiration, energy towards, like, how the hell do I make sure that never happens again? Yep. And let's figure it out now and put the steps in place. So here we are.
Love that. It's so, first of all, so relatable. You think, like, when you're pregnant, yeah, I'm going to eat so much. Sorry. Nope. Can't. Want to. Can't. Hurts. Literally hurts your insides. Or at least that was our experience. And it's funny. Ryan always tells me that. Like, when I was back in school or, like, had an awkward work situation or just was ruminating too much, he'd be like, the feeling that you feel right now, you'll remember that. And it'll help you make a different choice. So sometimes you do, again, apropos of everything we've been talking about, like, you just have to sit with it, remember it, know that how big it feels right now. It's not going to feel like that big forever, but take it as a learning. Mm-hmm. So good for you. Thank you for being so vulnerable and sharing. When you were looking up, you knew that you weren't going to be down there forever, but you have taken this and revamped it and are like, I just, like, picture you Wonder Woman right now, like Gal Gadot, like standing on top of, like, this big cliff, just, like, taking all, like, the good vibes.
No, like, actually, though, but I'm standing on top of a massive mountain of all the things that existed a month ago, right? Like, we didn't eliminate them.
No, some of they're the there.
Things are, but, like, we're there. We're still on top of the same mountain. It's just, to your point, it's perspective.
Exactly. That's it. That is it. So what a way to kick off this
what
episode.
What is your two truths and a lies? Because mine went on for far too long today.
No, it really, like, tied into everything, all the meat and potatoes that we're going to be talking about today. Mine's, like, a little bit of a segue. Should we still go there for, like, it'll be brief.
Yeah. And okay. Also, segue would imply it's going towards where we're going, right?
Oh, yeah.
I guess, like, an aside.
Yeah, it's kind of a left turn because I'm crossing over the line.
Got it. I think, like, I'm here for it.
So. Okay, great. Thank you. Just put on your seatbelt. You know,
I'm while here. We take our
time. Okay, good. Safety first. In the vein of reflecting back prior to the new year, you know, school ended and we had all, like, you know, the parties and we're getting everything ready and this and that. And RSV hit our household. Actually, my oldest couldn't go to his little holiday party. He missed, like, the last 2 days of school before vacation. And yo, RSV was pretty terrible. Like, made COVID look like absolutely nothing in our household. I know that could be different. But anyway, I say all of that because it hit my oldest, super high fevers, coughing so hard, like he's throwing up all over me, all over everything. Like, it was so bad. And then I knew in my head, like, running the timeline, like, oh crap, there's no way, like, my littlest isn't going to get it. And then that's going to run up really close to Christmas and, you know, all of the above. Also acknowledging we had COVID over Thanksgiving, right? So we had to shift our holiday plans. So just with it all, I kept coming back to these two truths, like, I'm going to be as flexible as I can be, knowing, like, I, of course, priority number one, making sure my boys are okay and healthy and cared for and fed, etc. But, like, at the same time, I'm still allowed to be a little bit frustrated at knowing that, like, our plan for the holidays looks a little bit different. And I think coming off the heels of being so flexible with Thanksgiving and it didn't work out in the way that I pictured, but then going into, like, all Christmas and Christmas Eve and Christmas and all of the above, and then even our New Year's plans together had to, you know, we were so flexible. And I just kept coming back to these themes, like, two truths, no lies. You can be very flexible and accommodating and also feel frustrated. It's okay to feel both.
So relatable. I'm sure that 99.9% of people listening right now have experienced something like this, either this past holiday season or in general. And it's so important to share.
Exactly.
Because it's like what we talk about every week, but this idea of, like, if I'm flexible and I have mental toughness, I should not be rattled by this. But false. No, both can exist.
Exactly. They both have to.
They have to. Yeah. It's not reality to assume they won't.
Right.
And to brush right. away, like, no, it's okay. We're going to be flexible. We're going to, all's fine. All is fine. Like, but honor that, like, this is disappointing.
Exactly. Exactly. And I found myself, like, modeling that out loud as much as I could, as much as we could, meaning my husband and I. Like, yes, we have to be so flexible. We might be going out to dinner tonight, but we also might not be. We have to be flexible, but it's also okay to feel a little bit frustrated too. So I kept, like, saying it in my kid friendly voice, like my teacher voice, but I was reflecting upon this episode. I'm like, how could I not share this? First of all, everybody was sick over the break. So yeah. Again, I'm certain I'm not alone in feeling that. But you don't have to be one or the other.
Mm-mm.
You just nope. don't.
You can't be.
Mm-mm. So that's what I got for you today.
I love it. Thank you so much for sharing. I was with you every step of the way.
You and sure just were.
Feeling so, so deeply for you guys. Oh. And just, it just sucks. And I think we talked about this in the holidays episode, but, like, I don't think we carve out enough space to, like, recognize that while we're trying to cultivate this magic for anything throughout the year, whether it's birthdays or holidays or whatever it is, we're trying to cultivate magic as parents. And mm-hmm. we put so much, and people are like, well, you know, they won't remember. They want this. It's like, but, like, their childhood is also, like, I'm going to cry saying this. Their childhood is my motherhood.
Yeah.
You know,
that's,
like,
so true.
That's like that right there. That's two truths, no lies, right? Yep. Like, their childhood is also my motherhood. So, like,
that's right.
Being, like, I can get disappointed when things, like, don't turn out the way that, like, you were hoping to for them, because this is also your memories.
Exactly.
With your babies.
And then their childhood becomes their adulthood mm-hmm. and who they are. And mm-hmm. do I want my boys to grow up and approach a situation that they weren't expecting to say, oh, I'm going to be flexible, but it's also okay to feel a little frustrated?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. I do.
Mm-hmm.
So that done goal, we always got to double click on.
That's right.
And speaking of double clicking,
mm-hmm.
what are we double clicking on this year, Melissa? 2025, what are we double clicking on?
So a few years back, one of my friends introduced the concept of, instead of setting New Year's resolutions, picking a phrase or a word
that
they stick to, like, root themselves in throughout the year. And as someone who believes so wholeheartedly in manifesting, and honestly, I want to dive deep into its own episode on that, like, I would love to. It's really served me, because I can't, like, get too into the all the different things I need to set and the goals and this. I get overwhelmed. Like, let's pick a phrase or an intention to set for the year. And one of the phrases that sticks out to me most this year and coming out of last year is, like, digging in to dig out.
Mm-hmm.
As a procrastinator and someone who has a hard time and gets really debilitated when there's, like, way too many things going all at once and pressing deadlines that all have the same amount of urgency, I go into freeze mode.
Yeah.
And it is not productive, obviously, because you're frozen. and it didn't serve me in the last quarter of last year. So really just, like, digging in to dig out. And those things that – and we'll dive into them more specifically, but these concepts and these ideas, or just even these actual things in my life that aren't serving me right now, I'm not at a place in my life where I can just drop them.
Yeah.
And the things that I can, we'll get into. But the things that I can't, I really need to dig into them in order to dig out of them. Mm-hmm. So that's my kind of like what I'm really double clicking on right in this moment and what I'm like manifesting for this year. But I want you to go more in, deeper into where you are, and I can piggyback off that.
I love that though. And it's actually connected to where I'm headed again under this. I guess if I had to choose like a word or a concept, I keep coming back to wellness. And nutritious thoughts fit underneath that. And then being even more granular, like, well, then what is a nutritious thought? And in your example that you just gave, like dig in to dig out fits underneath that, because it is aligned with a thought that gives you nutrition and is aligned with wellness as it relates to professional or personal, right? Mm-hmm. I think another think about and mantra that I keep coming back to underneath all of this too, which is encompassed in manifesting for just personally, I'm caring less to care more somewhere else. And that's where I get to make the active choice. That I, for me right now, keeps me grounded.
It is like a synonym for dig in to dig out.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yep. It's a copy paste. It's a copy paste. Yeah. And also just knowing that like for you, the dig in to dig out, I see your brain seeing that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I see yours seeing the other. 100%.
Like, oh, nope, not caring about that. Caring more about that. Like I'm taking the energy from, yeah, exactly. Taking it from one and giving it to the other. It's really like a whole rebrand on energy. Like where am I giving the energy, or what is an energy giver? And then what is an energy taker? And that's what we're leaving behind. And we're not going there just yet, but sticking into like what is giving me the energy and what is giving the situation the energy that, to your point, like feels good and feels right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing. At work, actually, we talk a lot about like detractors, like what are detractors for you? Mm-hmm. So, and those are those energy takers, right? Yeah. And I think reflection and beginning these in a state of reflection is so important, because it's really easy to get caught in these like big trends or just like this new year, new me. And I don't want to shit on that, because like there is something good about a reset, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like this concept of just like completely like upheaving, is that a word?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like everything and just like reconstructing and going against like your chemical makeup, your chronotypes, like your, like all these things about yourself that make you who you are and like result in the version of yourself that you're like trying to escape with January 1. It's not a playbook for success by any means. It's a playbook for shame.
Exactly.
It's a playbook for guilt. It's a playbook for just falling off of your intentions because you fail and then you don't feel good about that.
Yeah.
Whereas with this, it's more of reflecting on like what's serving you, what's not serving you. And it might not change tomorrow, but being aware of it and having these tangible things we can hold on to of like, okay, so what's my path forward here then?
And it gives you that playbook to reflect, but also to move forward. And that actually brings me to another point that I'm really working to actively double click on this year. And I would say that I've worked hard to double click on this for the past, I'd even say like 4 to 5 years, comparing yourself only to you, not to others. I've brought this up before, like flowers don't compare themselves to other flowers next to them. So why should people do the same thing? Compare yourself to you. You are the benchmark. And that ultimately fosters and cultivates self-pride and self-compassion. Mm-hmm. Like two truths, no lies. You have to give to yourself and to others, but at the same time, compare yourself just to yourself.
Comparison is the thief of joy.
Sure is. Sure is. And I know we all can relate to that, whether it's conscious or not.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if this, how much this will land with some people, but I don't know where it kind of came from, but in this reflection process and over the last few weeks, I've really been thinking more about like my life, whether it's the different domains, family, business, side hustle, whatever, or like my personal like self as like an organization, right? So approaching things in like these different, like an organization, like isn't all at once, like doing everything perfectly. Like there's always different things that we need to give to. The budgets are reallocated. We have different initiatives that coming out of the last year, we got to look at and be like, you know what, this is something that we really need to work harder on. But they still have their core competencies. They still have their product or their service or their one thing that they do, and they do it really effing well.
Yes.
And having that perspective for myself and my family and like all the domains I just mentioned is really energizing, because it, in theory, like it gives you a way to not compare yourself to others, because yeah, like are you gonna, you know, obviously businesses have competitors and that's what that is, but like there's a reason certain successful businesses are what they are, because they're unique in a certain way and they provide, or they might have the same sort of offerings as another company, but for whatever reason, their consumers are drawn to them. And that's kind of where I am with all of this right now. Yeah. And owning that.
Mm-hmm. Love that. It's so important to like bring that a little more crystallized as you're having this conversation around like goals and what we're double clicking on, and not necessarily new year, new you, but just like, what do we want to just bring into a more crisper resolution moving forward? Is there anything else that you would double click on or that we want to double click on this year before we go into what we're leaving behind?
Do you have any, like, I know we talked about some, like, offline, some things that, like, I'm going to start kind of doing to help mitigate, like, we want to,
Yeah, so, because we want to leave behind doom scrolling. And you had some really good doom scrolling alternatives. I'm not leaving behind doom strolling, to be clear. That's like the post-bedtime. I'm going to walk around the house. I don't know where I'm going, what I'm doing, but I'm just doom strolling. We're leaving behind doom scrolling.
Scrolling, yeah, very specific. Yeah. We're still going to putz our way through the year. it's very, very good for the soul. Doom scrolling alternatives. So I have a little note in my phone is literally like titled doom scrolling alternatives or doom scroll alternatives. And it is things that like during the day I think about that I want to, you know, look on Etsy for, look on Pinterest for, or just anything along those lines. And I write them down. So then at 9 p.m., if I'm in a space where I'm like, I just want to sit on my phone, I'm going to do that instead of like get lost somewhere else. Because in practicing this, two things happens. Number one, I realize that like my energy is probably served elsewhere. Like I actually am not in a space to like scroll on Pinterest and look for artwork for the office or whatnot. And then I actually, it gives me energy just to like complete the other task that I could be doing, which would be like cleaning up the kitchen and resetting and going and getting in the shower and BYSOing. Or I actually accomplish something that I've been wanting to do in that time instead of just losing hours to scrolling or losing even just minutes sometimes is just not productive. It's really not. Sometimes you need it, whatever. But like sometimes a good catch up, it feels good. But like when you feel yourself getting into, or when I feel myself getting into this habit, because it happens very quickly where every night it's like, it starts as like 15 minutes and all of a sudden, like I'll get to places where it's like 2 hours of my night staying up way too late, just scrolling. You know it. My best friends know it because you wake up probably with eight DMs from me of random videos that I think are funny.
Sometimes they are.
Yes. So anyway, that's one thing that I am like double clicking on. I'm bringing into the new year. I'm going to use my, not to say I'm just not going to sit on my phone. That's not realistic, but like going to be more productive with it.
I love that. And most of the time it's just like, again, reflect a clocking. I still want to have those moments to doom scroll. We know that it feels good. I love finding a meme or something relatable, point of connection, and being able to send that. But 15 minutes versus 2 hours is a very different way of thinking about it, right? So I've been setting timers on my phone too of like, okay, let me just have 5 minutes before I go tackle unloading the dishwasher to sit on my phone and do a little doom scroll. And that I find afterward, after BYSO, I don't want to do that. Yeah. I put my phone away, I silence my notifications, and watch Bad Monkey on Apple TV, which was phenomenal, by the way.
I don't know what that is.
Oh my gosh, Vince Vaughn is in it.
Oh my God, I never got into that.
It is so good. So good. I love Apple TV.
Yeah, they've been really like pushing them out.
Crushing. Yeah. Shrinking. Oh, did you? Have you watched
Shrinking? Yeah, I have. I think there's been like 8 voice notes where you brought it up and then like I don't get like circle back to that point. Yeah, Shrinking's amazing.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. But anyway, I say all of that because it just allows you to reshift your time.
Yeah.
And what's nutritious and what's not.
100% what's nutritious and what's not, right? Like we might doom scroll, but what's a nutritious doom scroll?
Exactly.
That a bit of a heavier thing, but one thing to double click on that's kind of adjacent to that is boundaries. Yes. That's a huge thing for me this year. Huge thing. That's one of my biggest takeaways from last year was like I need people to respect my boundaries more. Like, no, I need to set and respect my own boundaries first, and then in turn people will likely respect them.
Exactly.
But like we talked about this and we literally had a boundaries episode last year, and it was more about like, you know, we touched on work and stuff, but I think it was like more about like relationships and this and that and like how much we need them. And it's like, yeah, because like in that regard, like I feel pretty good.
Yeah.
Boundaries with myself.
Mm-hmm. Harder.
Sticking to timelines.
Yes.
Making sure that I'm working during working hours and not like getting distracted by other things and then feeling like I have to work for X amount of hours late night because of that. Just all things like this. So I literally have these written all over my office right now. I have this massive vision board that I started to create, which has been probably one of the best things I've done in the first
it's amazing
10 days of the year.
I actually think you need to do like a little Arc Digest tour and put it on our Instagram as a story.
All right, I will.
Okay,
it's been amazing. It's great. And so great to visually look at it, but boundaries is a really, 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 really big one.
And a note on that, I do think we should probably do like a boundaries part two, like almost like a concrete grenade. Like, what does that actually look like for yourself and for others? But yes, we are works in progress. We are WIPs. But sometimes you need to be your own accountability partner.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that falls underneath that.
Exactly. And that's why I said to you this morning, right? You're like, I don't, which I love you for it. And you're like, I'm purposely not sending you a voice note right back right now because, boundaries, and I want to make sure like you're respecting your boundaries. And I'm like, thank you for being my accountability partner. And also I need to learn. So please send them and I will resist the urge to listen until it is my lunch break or until I'm done with the working day.
You're such a whip. I love it. Whip. I'm just, you should be so proud of yourself.
So anyway.
So anyway, we digress, but let's, I want to spend some time talking about what we're leaving behind. One big thing, Melissa, that I am D-O-N-E done with is urgency culture. This is so directly correlated to people being addicted with their phones and expecting a reply right here, right now. And that also dovetails with boundaries, of course. But this urgency is fake.
Yeah.
These artificial timelines are artificial for a reason. So one line that Ryan and I have been saying a lot, which just makes me laugh, but also helps calm my cortisol levels. We literally say, there is no bear.
Done.
Like,
amazing.
Yep. Go back to the cavemen, cavewomen days. There's no bear. There is no bear. Take a breath and then proceed. And it really, really helps.
It's so helped. Did you share that with me? Someone shared that with me. And I don't want to say I forgot about it, but I feel like when I was in postpartum anxiety zone, I used that a lot.
Yes.
Like a lot. And just saying out loud, like actually saying it out loud, and I think, there is no bear. Like no it bear. Really makes you breathe, makes you calm, makes you reset, perspective take. Like, yep. Why am I feeling such a level of cortisol? Mm-hmm. Because, like, there's emails in my inbox that I should probably answer. Like, mm-hmm. There is no bear.
There's no bear. Dig in to dig out. Care less to care more.
Mm-hmm. There is no bear.
There is no bear. That. So that's been, like, my feedback loop. And it's really great, I gotta say. And it combats urgency culture.
Have you, I know we're just getting started here, but have you been combated with any resistance to that? Have you come up, has there been any situations in which you've tried to set a boundary with urgency culture, you've said there's no bear, you've said I don't need to answer that right now, and it's been met with resistance?
Not recently. I'm sure there will be at some point, but historically there has been, and it's actually more connected to like an email reply. To which I have then said, oh, well, I actually have a rule that I answer all emails within 24 hours.
Good for you.
And lay that very explicitly. Mm-hmm. I've also seen people put that like in their signature. Like, oh, expect wow. a reply from me within 24 hours.
Oh my God, I'm laughing. If anyone from my work, is listening to this, LOL. LOL. That is like,
it work?
That's no, like it's that's not BBP. That the problem is actually people are abiding more to like kind of doing that, and it's like considered like not best time to trade practice. Oh. But anyway.
Interesting.
No, but like that's also like the nature of my job versus the nature of your job. True. Like think there's things that change. But like
totally. Like there could be a bear.
I would love to know what would happen if I have that in my email signature. That being said, though, you know what a quick like reframe that I do, if there was a delay answering and I used to very quickly, apologies for the delay, even if it was not a delay. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Or if someone's following up and like, listen, if someone's following up and they had every right to follow up, I'm going to own that and be like,
oh, totally.
I'm so sorry.
Totally. Like,
thank you so much for your patience. However, I used to just so quickly say apologies for the delay, apologies. Yeah. I'm like, I'm not going to apologize here. Nope. Like I'm working on things. So I just say, thank you for your patience. Exclamation point. And yep. then I move on. So like anytime I'm met, even the urgency culture thing, like that's a good reframe with it. Thanks for your patience.
Exactly. I used to use this one a lot. Your patience is appreciated.
Your patience is appreciated.
Even though, to be clear, I have not received their patience.
Your future patience.
Correct.
Be appreciated.
Patience projection.
Love it.
Oh, man. Sometimes you just got to do a little reverse psychology.
You really do. What other energy takers? What do we need to care less about this year?
I mean, I think like I hit on a lot of mine. Mm-hmm. I did. I think I'm more of the positive opposite type of thinking, right? Where I want to double click more than leave behind mm-hmm. because I'm double clicking on the things I want to zoom in on.
Right.
But the energy that's taken away from me being present is what I'm leaving behind. So that allows me to then double click on the concept of these small moments make up the big moments. So how am I showing up? And if something is sucking my energy from showing up, that's what allows me to hold up. Wait a minute. We need to make a change in some capacity.
Beautifully said. It's a great framework, honestly. So we have the ins and outs that everyone is going on and on about on Instagram. And I can't help but as I read each one, I just like my chest tightens a little bit.
Same.
Even the funny ones. Because like my chest tightens for like a younger version of myself that would really cling on to that. And then like immediately, instead of celebrating the wins, mm-hmm. just like really cling to the things that I didn't stick to or like the outs that carried through the year. Shame of like, yep. oh, these are outs, meaning like we don't like these things anymore. So like, should I feel shameful or like guilty that or cringy about myself that I did it last year?
Exactly.
What if I don't want it to be an out?
Right. Like that's actually on my in list. Like, yeah. Ooh, I'm feeling cringy. So here's a reframe though to that, right? Like, mm-hmm. think about what are your biggest energy givers? What are your biggest energy takers and why? And if you reassess in a couple of months and that list doesn't look like what it looks like now, what are you going to do about it?
What are you going to do about it?
And also, like, for us, right, like, it's one of our goals to increase our followers and increase mm-hmm. our engagement. Well, how do we do that on Instagram and on social media? We have to be more active on it. Thus, you spend more time on your phone.
Yeah.
Thus, that's antithetical to where we want to give our energy, right? So at the end of the day, it's all a balance. We know that, but we have to make sure that we're establishing what are our biggest energy givers and what are our biggest energy takers and why.
And they can be layered just like that, just like the social piece of it.
Exactly. Right?
This is one of my largest energy givers in my life right now, this space and doing this with you. And there's going to be layers to that. There's going to be parts, like your biggest energy giver, whether it's your family or your side hustle, your unicorn space, like there's also going to be parts of that that like it takes some of your energy to get it there.
It's reality. Right? Like, it's reality.
It's reality. You got to put in. You got to dig in to dig out.
Dig in to dig out. Care less to care more somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Those are our think abouts today, Mel. Like, we've dropped a lot, but I feel like we keep coming back to that.
We do. Well, I am so excited to take on this next year with you.
Oh, my gosh.
Same. I've been so inspired seeing everyone's, like, what they did in 2024. Not the ins and outs, but, you know, just, like, seeing their businesses grow or their personal lives and all the things. And I'm just, like, so inspired to see, like, where this year takes us and and just to do it together.
It's so much fun. We're flying high.
Flying high.
Oh, and also, like, we want to hear what people want to hear.
Yeah.
Yep. So tell us.
Yeah, we have been pretty silent on social. So obviously that's going to kick back up. That was a part of our, like, reset, particularly mine.
Intentional reset.
Intentional reset. And I think the times that we did pop on, like, that was pretty clear that this was intentional. So we're going to be coming back and back better than ever. And we really do want to engage with you all and see what we should take on 2025 in January and February and beyond.
Oh, it's great. And we're here to be accountability partners for you too.
Yes.
And to enable you to be your own accountability partner too.
Mm-hmm. Let us know if there's anything from this particular episode in terms of, like, vision boarding, manifesting, looking at these different, like, honestly, like, Venn diagrams of energy takers and givers and how that all plays out. Because I know I have, like, 8 different versions of that just staring at me right now in my office. So
yes,
I'm happy to share and we can all build some stuff up together. And I would be remiss if I did not discuss all that we have coming up. We have so much exciting stuff and like we're not just like baiting right now. We really, really do. Like it is probably why I am one of the reasons why I am so motivated and inspired right now. So keep an eye out for that. We're really exciting announcements coming and
it's going to be great. It's going to be so good.
All right. Well, I love you, my dear. Happy 2025 and happy early birthday to you.
Oh, thank
not just you. Your little babe, but like let's carve out space.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I know he was my birthday present. He was born 3 days before my birthday.
Yeah. Yeah. And here she goes. She's just deflecting again. Maybe not about her. It's about you for 2 seconds.
Master deflector.
We're going to wait. I'm making an active choice to pause this until after your birthday because I know you will respond better once like your little one has been celebrated.
You know me. Mm-hmm. You know me too well.
But, like, I don't want people thinking I don't know, so.
She knows. She knows, I know. Folks. She I know. Knows. She knows all too well, the 10-minute version.
Yes. All right. Well, I love you. I hopefully will be seeing you very soon.
Yes. Fingers crossed that there's not going to be 2 feet of snow.
But,
but if there is, we'll be flexible and frustrated at the same time.
Correct. Correct. I will see you shortly. I love you. And I can't wait to take on this year with you.
Same.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Love Toodles. You.